I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we will do our darndest to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Also coming up at around 10:05, Ashley Zane will be joining us from CBIA to talk about a proposal where they're going to try to come up with some laws that shield companies that do the right thing with cybersecurity. From lawsuits. So if you happen to have a data breach at your company and you did try to do the right thing by putting in the right technologies, this new proposal might protect you from a lawsuit. So we'll talk about that with Ashley Zane at around 10:05. So stick around for that. Now, speaking of concerns, if you're down south, you have a concern about getting gasoline, right? So the Colonial Pipeline hack, as they call it, has caused some issues. It's a ransomware attack. The word hack is not right. It's nothing more than most likely an email that went to a ding-dong that opened the email and delivered a payload to the network that encrypted their systems, right? I mean, it's not hacking. The dark side guys there in Russia are all apologetic. Oh, I'm so sorry. We didn't mean to do it. You're sending out thousands and thousands of emails, right? That's what you're doing. And any ding-a-ling and any business can open it, and you know, from something really critical to something really, you know, benign.
It said in the article I read that they disbanded.
Well, they weren't disbanded; they were brought down.
I don't think that they. I think they might have disbanded, but not because voluntarily. I think they were trying to evade the law enforcement.
Yeah, in Russia, they did some. Russia did do some work there. I did read a similar article. So the thing is that we want to talk a little bit about here is that this was not a hack of any kind. This was just a company, in this case, a gasoline pipeline, that didn't do their due diligence, right? They didn't do the right things by their cybersecurity. Number one, they didn't have a disaster recovery plan, okay? Because they spent $5 million, roughly, in ransom, in cryptocurrency, right? They paid the bad guys right away, like within hours of being impacted, they paid them. The bad guys gave them a tool to decrypt their data, but the tool was so slow and so bad, they had to go to their own backups. The company had to use their backup systems and restore the data themselves.
So that means that they spent $5 million for nothing.
And it also means their disaster recovery plan was garbage. Because I guess it's okay to be down for a week in their disaster recovery plan.
When you're supplying a quarter of the nation with all their fuel.
Right. So their plan, clearly, was junk. So, folks, if you're in business, there are a few basic steps you need to take, right? You need to have a basic disaster recovery plan. Oh, and you actually have to test it. right? You have to first decide, what's a disaster? Oh, I don't know. Is it a disaster that your server crashes? Oh, that's a disaster, sure. But how about if you have a fire? Or how about if you have some sort of pipe burst and you have to move your company? What kind of disaster are you going to mitigate for? And once you define the disaster, go ahead and run a test. Let's just see how long it would take to get you back up and running. For crying out loud. You got to do a test here. So, and then that's just the basics. And then to prevent the disaster in the first place, guys, you have to do a few things. All right. You need to have a backup. At least they had a backup over there at Colonial. Appreciate that. They did that. They have a backup and they were able to restore the data. That's great. What about maybe web filtration, right? Tab has a patrol dog tool called Patrol Dog Web that blocks our clients' employees from surfing bad sites, malicious sites, sites you wouldn't be proud of, sites that would be are going to deliver malware to your company's business, right? We have a tool that'll block those folks from going to malicious sites on purpose or by accident. If they're tricked into going there, they can't because our tool blocks them. You need that by default, guys. Done. You got to have it.
Then you have like the top executives who say, I don't want to be filtered.
Right. The top executives get to go wherever they want. Of course, they're the ones that are most likely to get the virus brought into their company, but that's a whole other issue. So you need to have a web filter, number one. Number two, you need to have an email filter. Tab has a tool called Patrol Dog MX Mail. We can filter the bad mail coming to your people. All right? We can do this and prevent bad stuff from coming into your employees' mailboxes with attachments or viruses or links that send you to malicious sites that deliver ransomware to your network. All right, there's step two. Step three, you got to pay for antivirus. Sorry, guys. It's a whole $2 a month per system. Buy some antivirus for your company's computers. Please. It's really basic. It's easy to do. If somehow the bad stuff gets through the web defense and through the email defense, oh, you got an antivirus to maybe battle it. There's another step.
That's like not having those three things is like not buying insurance to protect you financially.
Or not wearing your seatbelt and wondering why you flew through the windshield when you hit another car. Jeez. So those are three real basic cheap things you can do. Oh, here's another thing you can do. Security awareness training. We offer that as well for our clients, Patrol Dog SAT. These security awareness training constantly keeps your people on the lookout for the bad stuff, right? Is this email a trick? Yes, if you get an email from somebody that says, hey, thank you for your order. Click here to find out what you bought. I didn't buy anything. Let me find out what they're saying. Click, click, ransomware. You're done. Security awareness training.
Here's your invoice.
Yeah.
What you ordered.
What did I buy? I didn't buy anything. Click, click. Of course you did. You got tricked. Right? It wasn't even hard. DarkSide could have easily sent you that silly email. And if you didn't have a way to block it, because even with the three tools I mentioned, 10% is still going to get passed to your employees. Your employees have to be trained to look out for this stuff. If you find a USB stick in your office and it has a thing that says payroll on the USB thumb drive, guess what people are going to do? Stick it right in their computers. Click, click, ransomware. I mean, come on. So again, you need to do some security awareness training, and then the training is ongoing. You can't stop the training because the bad guys are always thinking of new ways to trick you, right? There's always new reasons to trick you. COVID comes out. Let's do some emails based on COVID. You know, Anna Kournikova, beautiful tennis player. Let's try to figure out ways to make people click on those things. You can come up with a million ways to make people click on stuff. You need to train them regularly. Security awareness training, very cheap, much cheaper than $5 million in ransom. This is basic stuff, guys. Okay, now you've got those four things in place. What else can you do? Well, there's also MDR technology. This is technology where you have active live people watching your computers in case something gets past it and the bad guys are in your systems trying to move laterally across the network. We have tools for that to help prevent this from occurring for you. And I could go on and I could go on. These are not even expensive things versus $5 million.
How about protecting from the...
You have to talk into the mic.
About protecting from the online drives like iDrive and
correct. Yeah, we block access to the cloud, right? I mean, we want to make sure you're not going to be able to have access to these third party things. But here's with COVID, you've got all these great tools you're going to put in place, right? All these great protections, all this great cybersecurity, and then what do? You let your employees log into your network from their home computers that their 12-year-old was surfing on 20 minutes ago. Does that make any sense? It does not, right? Now, I gave you an example last week of a university researcher who was connecting into the university with a Citrix remote portal, and he delivered malware to the university, encrypt the whole damn thing. Because they acted like it was his fault. No, university, it's your fault for letting them use their home computers to connect to your network. You need to offer them business machines that have all the tools I just described on them, limiting their access. When I take my tab computer home and bring it into my network, guess where I can't go? To any malicious sites. Why? Because I have Patrol Dog Web on my machine. Tab says I can't go to any malicious sites no matter where I am with this computer. And I can't. And that means I can't bring malware into the network when I connect back here in the office. These are basic things, people. COVID has produced a huge problem when it comes to this. People using their home computers for business use, and it's got to stop. The last thing is we have to make illegal cryptocurrencies, period. You know, Elon Musk last week was on Saturday Night Live talking about Dogecoin, and then he came out 3 days later saying, you know what, this Bitcoin thing's a bad idea. And he came out for the reasons of environmental reasons, because Bitcoin requires a massive amount of energy. It's the most inefficient form of payment you can ever imagine, literally. It's fake money, guys. It's fake money. You're able to pay $5 million to people in an Eastern Bloc country that anonymously. That's a great idea, huh, Bob? Who thought of that idea? Let's make cryptocurrency a thing.
I got some drugs I want to sell you.
That's why they use it.
To be traced.
Yeah, drugs, ransomware, whatever it is. It's a criminal enterprise, and we're trying to make it something real. It needs to stop. It has to end. Cryptocurrencies have to go away. Now, ironically, Tesla, believe it or not, makes more money on selling carbon credits than cars. Carbon credits, also fake money, but it doesn't take an awful lot. You know, that's just Al Gore with a spreadsheet, right? You know, offering up credits. I mean, that's a little easier to do than cryptocurrency. So it's got to stop. This whole thing is really, I think we're smarter than this as a people. Just because some geek said I'm going to create a coin and you go ahead and use tons of CPU power and energy to have a ledger called a blockchain so that, you know, we can allow bad guys to do anything they want. Why do we think that's a good idea?
The whole concept of cryptocurrency came about when people wanted to be able to trade and not have the government
tell
where they were spending their money.
It's a libertarian dream. I understand that. But it's a big problem. So if you really want to stop all these ransomware attacks from damaging our hospitals, our schools, our businesses, make cryptocurrency illegal. You still have a risk of issues with cybercrime, but it'll go down a lot less when you can't make any money doing it. The criminals, you know, they can, of course, damage you because they feel like it.
Yeah, well, then they got to revert to going, telling you to go to Walmart and buy a cash card.
Right. That's a lot of cash cards. If you want $5 million in $20 gift cards, it's a lot of plastic.
Well, that might raise some eyebrows.
It might.
We don't have that many cards here.
Well, then, of course, you got to ship the cards to the bad guys. And guess what you can do with that? You can track it. And then the FBI is going to be at the destination, and the guys get arrested, right? So this whole process is idiotic that cryptocurrencies are a thing. I'm sure you guys are out there saying, oh, cryptocurrencies are great, Eric. Fine. They're not, though. Huge amounts of energy. So if you care about the environment at all, right, it's 150,000 times more energy inefficient to do a cryptocurrency transaction than swipe your credit card. 150,000 times more inefficient. What are we doing? And we're out of chips. We're running out of chips. We had ding-dongs buying our video processing cards to do this crypto mining. Actually, half the mining happens in China on top of that. Of course, they don't really care about the environment at all. So, but we're losing access to processors and chips. We're wasting all of this time and processing power on mining fake money.
There's a club I joined at, and a bunch of guys were all complaining that they couldn't buy any trucks. Nobody has trucks in their yard except for used ones,
yeah.
And they don't have very many of those that are in good shape because they can't buy trucks.
Because they're out of chips.
Yep. And the reason why they can't buy the trucks is the manufacturers can't buy the computer chips that run the computers that run the trucks.
Right, because we're mining cryptocurrency. So those are a little brief summary here of what's going on with this whole thing with ransomware and what's going on with Colonial. Utterly preventable. All sorts of very inexpensive ways to do it. Their disaster recovery plan clearly was awful. And to be down for a week, they deserve it. And you got to test your disaster recovery plans, guys. You can't just say you have one. And you have to figure out what a disaster is. Not pumping gasoline would probably be the disaster you want to mitigate for. And a week is probably not a fair amount of time.
And doing test restore once in a while to make sure that...
Just to know how long it'll take.
Well, not only that, but... if there's actually any data in your backup.
Right. Oh, that's true, too.
Well, you know, I can tell you, there's been times when I did test backups and those tapes were blank.
Exactly. That's why we created Patrol Dog. Long story. We're going to step out for a quick break. Get to your calls. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSEs at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Four lines wide open. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We are broadcasting live over at WTIC's Facebook page if you want to check out our mugs. As we wait for your calls, I have another story for you that kind of hit right here at home. Early this past April, a company called Elekta got whacked with ransomware. Yep, their whole system got encrypted. All right, and that wouldn't be, you know, the bad thing if it was just Elekta. But of course, what got encrypted was their cloud service that offered the ability for cancer doctors to actually do radiation treatment. That they have a software that runs their linear accelerators. That cloud service, also known as other people's servers, that cloud service got ransomed, encrypted, made it impossible for places like Smilow Cancer Hospital down in New Haven at Yale to actually do treatment. This is more than 40 companies were affected by this because, of course, when you put all your eggs in someone else's servers, you're infected yourself. You're impacted yourself.
So when you go and sign up for this cloud service,
yeah,
and you're a company that has doing something as critical as that is,
or anything,
wouldn't you ask them, do you have like redundancy, like offsite? What if you get encrypted?
Right.
How fast can you get back up?
They were down for quite some time.
Yeah.
They were down for quite some time. It started back April 6th. They got whacked, and again. So they got hit a couple times with this
They didn't learn the first time.
not quite. I'll put a link up here for you. You can take a look at it. The ironic thing, and this is so juicy and ironic, I just love it so much. You know what they did, Bob, to get their clients back up and running? You would never guess it. It's not a trick question. What they did, they actually ran out on-premise servers back to the individual clients. So they put their software on physical servers and gave them to their customers. Here you go, customer. Here's an on-prem server you can have at Yale. Here's one you can have at this place. Here's one you can have. So instead of getting it back up and running on another cloud, they decided to solve the issues with on-premise servers. You can't make it up. You can't make it up.
Well, then, if somebody gets encrypted, it doesn't take down all 40.
Exactly. It doesn't take down everybody. It's in, you know, come on, guys. This shouldn't be surprising. So when you're thinking about putting your company in the cloud, understand, this is what happens. When it does happen, you're all impacted. And believe it or not, they ran out on-prem servers to get them back up and running. Think a little bit harder. When somebody tells you, you'll never be down when you go to the cloud, you'll never have to worry about anything when you go to the cloud, it's all out of your, nothing for you to worry about, just keep paying me monthly a huge premium to put your stuff in the cloud and everything will be fine. Think again. I can't tell you how many times I'm talking to customers now about how to get their stuff out of the cloud. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
Get online, 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we'll take your computer comments, questions, and concerns. We have four lines wide open. I know it's a gorgeous Saturday morning. It's a rare thing in Connecticut. We have to enjoy it while we get them. But if you ever want to talk about technology and have had issues getting in online before, this is a good time to do it. And coming up at 10:05, we're going to have Ashley Zane from the CBIA come on and talk about a proposal that's being made to kind of shield companies in Connecticut from being sued if they incur a data breach, if that company puts in some of the basic requirements of cybersecurity. And, you know, I've been doing this for 31 years here at Tab, and you would not believe how hard it is to get companies to do the right thing.
Maybe they need to put some incentives in, like Krispy Kreme donuts or Cool Frosty.
If you use antivirus, we'll give you a Cool Frosty. I saw the mayor of New York stuffing his face with fries. Here, you get some you can get fries with that. I just can't make it up. No, this will be a shield against a lawsuit, which may or may not even be effective, but it's something. Companies really need to work harder at protecting our data, number one, and protecting themselves from these ransomware attacks. I mean, and they shouldn't be using personal computers to connect in to the network to do their business. Right. If your 12-year-old kid is using the same computer you're using to connect to your company's business, and then you're looking at my medical record, or you're bringing up my insurance, or you're bringing up my financial planning, or you're bringing up whatever it is, you're putting my stuff at risk because you're not using any security tools that your company would have required you to have when you were in the building. And even in that case, it's hard to get them to do what you're supposed to do. So it looks like we're going to try to talk about some what the state is going to maybe can offer you a shield. And now it's not a Cool Frosty, but at least it's a shield against a lawsuit if you at least do some basic things. And they're going to probably put the framework around NIST 800-171 framework, which is a framework that we implement for our aerospace clients who are out there manufacturing parts for, let's say, the F-35, or maybe they're making howitzer parts that, you know, all sorts of cool stuff. And, you know, they need to make sure that this stuff is protected from the Chinese, from, you know, getting access to this data, the CUI data. And you got to do some basic frameworks here to protect this data. And they're going to use NIST maybe to offer that framework as the thing the rest of us should do.
So no Chinese and no Russian security products.
Right. You can't use Kaspersky. If you're using a Russian antivirus program on your network, you know, you're probably not doing the right thing, you know, or AVG or any of these things from, you know, these other Eastern Bloc countries.
Yeah, but it's free.
Yeah, yeah. That's the problem. So feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And again, we talked a little bit about Elon Musk. He was all hyping up the cryptocurrencies on Saturday Night Live, and literally just a couple days later, he goes, you know what? We're going to stop accepting Bitcoin as payment. And he says it because Bitcoin is ridiculously inefficient as far as electricity use. 150,000 times more inefficient than a simple credit card swipe.
Well, I'll bet you after he did that, yeah, somebody in his company with knowledge of this kind of advised him what was really going on in the background with the cryptocurrency.
Well, he's the smartest guy on the planet, so I don't understand why he wouldn't have known that already. We talked about this issue. I brought it up on this show a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was pretty ironic, you know, that you guys are all happy on this cryptocurrency, but you're okay with the amount of electricity it uses. And, you know, whole countries use less electricity than Bitcoin does to process transactions. It's insanity. It's literally the dumbest thing we can do as a people. And, of course, because it's so easy to make payments to the bad guys, they love it. They're going to encrypt your company, and they'll reach in and say, here, you put this money in my wallet, and you can't find out who
but
I am.
Think
I
mean, about it. The Bitcoin company gets other people to spend their money on the power to do it.
Well, yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah. So I created, let's say, Bitcoin,
right?
And now I'm getting rich because other people are actually financing the production of my product.
Yeah, it's insane, Bob. All right, let's get to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We want to go to Bob in Waterbury first. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, guys, I love your show.
Thank you.
I do have a computer at work, but I try to stay away from it because I just screw it up.
We love users like you. You're the best client.
I got a lot of work I have to put into it, and I just can't sit and – I don't know how people sit in front of computers all day long. I'd go click, click, and that'd be done.
Yep.
Me and my daughter are on our phones. We have that MyFi or Find Me, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's going to Cancun in a couple of weeks.
Oh, great.
When she goes up in the airplane, will I be able to see her, like, flying?
No. But there's probably airplane tracking software that you can find out where the airplane – I mean, Ray Dunaway probably could give you three different programs that help you track airplane flights to know where what's going on.
But you're not going to be able to do it from the phone.
No, not the phone. The phone's going
to
be –
because they have to put it in airplane mode.
Right.
Okay, so if she puts it in airplane mode – yeah, because I've seen that on my phone – so right. Do I have to put my phone on airplane mode, or she has to put her?
She has to put hers on airplane mode because the FCC, not FCC,
FAA,
one of the Fs, tell you have to do that.
So when she gets Cancun, are they like part of the real world? Will it work there?
I think it would.
Yeah, once they land, you can take it off airplane mode.
Yeah, then you'll be able to see what she's doing in Cancun. Does she know you're going to keep an eye on her?
Yeah, well, we do. I already told her. I said, listen, man, you're 26 years old. You can do what you want, but, you know, when I stop snooping, then you're in trouble. You know? Yeah, that means I don't give a crap anymore.
Gotcha.
And we're best friends, so her and her awesome. Boyfriend going. And, you know, it's like you're in Mexico now. I can't go help. So you're on your own, you know?
Yep. I got some stories of my time in Cancun with some friends about when I was that age. I can't tell you on the radio. Oh, tell her, watch out. There's actually a lake right there in Cancun. There's this lake, and we went jet skiing on this lake and had all sorts of fun on it. And then we went to dinner on a restaurant that was on the lake, and we noticed that there was some weird commotion by the water. And the folks in the restaurant that were working at the restaurant were chucking food in the water. And we're like, what are you doing? Oh, we're feeding the alligators. And there you could see him thrashing around like, oh, we were just jet skiing on that lake.
Yikes. Yeah, because I hear about all this, you know, people coming up to the border and everything, and I never really, I mean, I look at maps and everything, and then, so the other day, me and my daughter, while we were eating dinner, she showed me she brought up on her phone, so here's where we are, and here's where the traffic is. So it is pretty far away.
Yeah.
That's Mexico's bread and butter.
I agree. So, yeah, they'll be fine as long as they stay on the resort. They'll be good.
And don't drink the water.
Yeah, don't drink the water.
Get Montezuma's revenge.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Let's go on to our resident groupie, Danny. He wants to talk about Musk. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning. So what do you think about Musk changing his idea on Bitcoin? Do you think he finally woke up?
Well, yes and no. And I agree with you completely. That whole cryptocurrency is, you know, the main purpose is it's a hustle.
Yeah.
And it's dangerous, and that's the only way any kind of hacking or ransomware can get paid.
Exactly.
But, you know, there are guys on Wall Street, like there's this guy, his name's Mike Novogratz.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the next hedge fund guy, and, you know, he's got his own hedge cryptocurrency thing going. Him and nine other guys just put $1 billion each in to start their own cryptocurrency. You know, J.P. Morgan, all the big banks and stuff, they're all getting into it because they see money being made.
It needs to
but
stop.
But when the stuff hits the fan, they'll be the first ones out the door and won't lose as much money.
Well, no, we'll bail them out, of course.
Yeah,
that's what we do.
Too big to fail.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, there used to be a rumor that Musk was, I'm sure it probably still is, was that Shubhiachi Machisudu or whoever, the guy that...
Oh, the guy that invented it?
Invented it.
Yeah.
And in a way, it makes a lot of sense.
It does, but it doesn't. He didn't invent it. But that guy the inventor of Bitcoin has the majority of the coin.
And that could be Elon Musk.
I don't think so. It's a huge mess. I think Musk finally realized just because it's computerized, it's something that you
But do you know what
need.
He just did?
What did he just
do? He just let somebody purchase a rocket launch from the Earth to the Moon in the year 2022.
With Ethereum.
With Dogecoin.
You did? I thought it was Ethereum.
Dogecoin.
All right. That's all you may be right. Yeah, it's 42
yeah,
cents.
Yeah, you know, because he's. I mean, I know it's Doge. I just call it Doggy.
That's what Bob does too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because the Doge was the guy in Genoa in Venice, the head of the statesman.
It's crazy.
That was a good job being the Doge.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy, man. This whole thing is nuts. It needs to be outlawed. I mean, if you remember, they outlawed gold, you know, a while ago.
Yeah. They need to stop it right now.
Yes.
Turkey just cracked down on it a week or two ago.
Yes.
But I mean, it's horrible. It's a horrible idea. It makes no sense.
It's always been fake.
And it's only for criminal or corrupt purposes.
Right.
And did you? Musk announced on Saturday Night Live that he has Asperger's.
Yes, he's not the only guy that has Asperger's.
Right, I know, but I mean, it makes so much sense because he, you know, he can't talk and he's so socially awkward. I always knew there was something that wasn't right. I didn't, you know, I figured he was autistic or something on some part of the spectrum.
Sure. Yeah, but he's kicking butt. I mean, I got to give him a lot of credit there, and I'm glad he said what he said.
I got to hold, let me grab the table again. What did you just say?
I have respect for the guy.
Oh, my God.
But Danny.
He's still my, where's my nitroglycerin?
But Danny, did you see? I'm having a seizure. Have you read about Tesla, how they make more money selling carbon credits, Al Gore carbon credits than they do in cars?
Yes, I have.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
And he made more money with Bitcoin, with the increase in the value of the Bitcoin he bought.
Yeah, but he lost that again.
Right.
So that's fine. But, I mean, this is getting nutty out there. This is all this fake stuff's got
to
stop.
And Grimes had a panic attack, two panic attacks, and had to be hospitalized after Saturday Night Live.
Who's Grimes?
His girlfriend, his baby mama, the one that had he had the baby.
Well, yeah, that was, yeah, she was.
ACO-1222.
Right, I heard she was freaking out. I don't blame her. I think I'd freak out if I was on Saturday Night Live a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, Danny.
Well, I appreciate your statements of respect.
Of course.
I'm going to have to be in a coma the rest of the day. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take it easy, Danny. All right. We're going to step out for a quick break. Get to get online for us, if you would. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. What do you think about cryptocurrency? And do you understand ransomware? Do you have any questions about this stuff? Feel free to get online. We have one line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and we're going to be here till 11 o'clock live. Thank you guys. You all woke up. We have four lines all filled up, so I appreciate it. Gives us something to do other than talk about our kids, which we would do if we had to. And coming up at 10:05, Ashley Zane from CBIA will be coming in and talking a little bit about the Connecticut bill that would shield businesses from cyber attack related lawsuits if those businesses do the right thing.
Yeah, and the good thing is, though, our bad thing is, we've had a lot of IT news this week.
Always. IT is always in the news. Let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Harry in Newington first. What's going on, Harry?
Hey, I have about a two-year-old pavilion.
It's
got a terabyte, just single disk, and I think 12 gig of storage. Mm-hmm. And I always used to back my older systems up with Ghost. And it worked very well. I didn't do incremental, but boy, I could back up that hard drive and really feel good about it.
Yep.
That's all I want to do now, is be able to back up my hard drive. I don't care too much about incrementals.
Right.
I just want to know what you guys would recommend if somebody took a hammer to my hard drive and I had to replace it.
Acronis works out well. It does an image backup for you if you're looking for that full image of your hard drive. So you can look at Acronis.
That's what I want.
Yeah, Acronis is a good option. We'll put a link up there for you.
Okay, well, that's really all I want to know. So I can basically back that up with Acronis and fully restore it.
Correct. However, when you back it up, you're going to back it up to a storage device like an external hard drive, right?
Yes.
Make sure once you're done, you disconnect that hard drive from your computer.
Gotcha.
Because if you don't, it's not the hammer you're worried about. You're worried about the ransomware, right? If somebody encrypts your computer and the hard drive that's connected to your computer, right, you've got no backup.
Yeah.
That's a key. A lot of folks still don't understand that. I can't tell you how many file servers we see out there in the field with prospect clients where they've got some IT companies got a little hard drive literally sitting on top of the server, and that's what they call a backup. I mean, that's truly ridiculous.
Well, that Ghost really saved me a few times in my life, and I wanted something similar.
Yep, and we have your link.
That's all I need to know, and I thank you very much.
Any particular
release or anything of that, Cronus?
The latest version is always the one we'd recommend.
Okie doke. Hey, thank you very much.
You got it, Harry.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, let's move on to Nick in Enfield next. What's going on, Nick?
Hi. I bought a new commonly known brand computer from the company in September.
Okay.
And from the first week, the thing would be very slow.
Okay.
I'd try to click a file, and it would say working on it, and that could last a couple of minutes.
Oof.
And recently it went 2 hours.
Hmm.
And then when I rename a file or save two or three files, the green band appears at the top like it's working on it, and that can go on for a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
Wow. What do you have for a processor, Nick? Is it an i3, i5? Do you know?
It's a Ryzen.
Okay, AMD. What level of machine did you buy? Was it sub-$500, sub-$1,000? How much did you spend?
It was about $700.
Okay. All right. So you probably have an okay system. Does it have a solid-state drive in it or a spinny drive, as we call them?
A terabyte solid-state.
All right. So you got plenty of high-speed stuff going on
here.
How
much RAM?
I don't remember.
It's okay. I'm guessing it's 4 gigs at least, probably 8. So you might have something wrong with your system and or you have malware running on your system.
That would be my guess. If you're running an SSD and it's that slow.
Yeah. And a lot of times what happens is these Bitcoin miners trick you into loading Bitcoin mining software on your computer. So it's actually taken CPU cycles to mine Bitcoin. Have you checked? Have you ever gone to your task manager to see if your CPU is set pegged at 100% utilization? Have you checked that?
I didn't.
Okay, so when you're having slowness issues, hit Control-Alt-Delete and go to your task manager. And you're going to bring up your system settings to see if your CPU is pegged out, to see what's happening, what's happening in the background. And then you can actually list the processes that are pegged out at the highest levels, 100% levels, to see what could be causing it. It could be antivirus causing it. It could be a malware program that's doing it. My guess is it's malware that's causing your CPU cycles to slow down.
That's disappointing.
Okay. Well, you just got to clear it out. You just got to get a tool like Malwarebytes to remove the malware.
Okay.
Are you using OpenDNS as your web filter?
I think I was using Webroot.
Webroot's antivirus software. That's good.
Yeah.
But is it still on there?
Webroot? Yes.
Okay. So either Webroot can't see the virus you might have, or you have something else wrong, like your processor is overheating. Because I suspect if you had malware, Webroot would have already found it for you. So there could be something wrong with your machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I've been in touch with the company, and they said they're going to allow me to ship it back to be looked at.
Okay. All right.
Back up your data before you ship it.
Yeah. You hear that?
Yes.
Okay. And make sure if there's any data on there you wouldn't want them to find, you take it off.
Yeah, I've been taking care of things like banking and federal taxes.
All right, very good. So, yeah, I think you might have a physical problem. They obviously think so, too, so ship it out.
Okay. And I enjoy and agree with your comments about the cloud and the Bitcoin.
Very good.
Bitcoin is a fad. Everybody wants to jump on and say, hey, look at me, but we'll see how it plays out.
It needs to go away, Nick, doesn't it?
Yep.
All right, thank you, Nick.
Thank you.
All right, talk to you soon.
Bye.
We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Stick around. The news is next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.